Let's turn to John chapter 15. We're going to look at bearing fruit or doing good works today. The doing of good works glorifies the Father in heaven. You know, you were created to know God, and the sign of it is good works. You weren't created to do good works. You were created to know God, and the sign of it, the fact that you have a relationship now with God, is productive of good works. That's how you can tell the relationship had some value, is it produces His works, or works that are pleasing in His sight. I am the vine, the true one, the true vine. In the English, it just says, I'm the true vine, but in the Greek, it says, I am the vine, the true one. Now, there are lots of vines, but this is the true vine. And the Father of me, my Father, He is the vine dresser. He is the vine dresser. And every branch, okay, now branch is not the same as the vine. The vine is the main stalk, the main trunk, the main stem, the thing that has the roots on it, goes into the ground. The branch does not touch the ground. The branch is up. It's up higher on the stalk or the root system. The branch, every branch in me, I am the vine. You are not the vine. You are the branch of the vine. So you and me, and we're all branches off of that vine. So you can say there's a difference between the vine, which is the main thing, and the roots of it going deeper into the ground, and then the branches of it, and then the fruit of it. So you can tell if there's a relationship between the branch and the vine, there'll be fruit. But if there's no relationship between the branch and the vine, in other words, if you cut the branch off, there will be no fruit. If you cut the branch off, so the question is, who is the true vine? Is it Buddha? No, he's not the true vine. Is it Muhammad? Not the true vine. That's important then to find out what this I am the vine, the true vine is. Because many claim to be the true vine, and then they tell you what works to do, and, you know, you do them. But in this case, the main thing is not to find any old vine, but the true vine, the only one that will produce true fruit or good fruit. Because God, who's the vine dresser, He's the one that dresses the vine, will cut off branches that don't produce good fruit. Or will not regard vines that don't produce the fruit He wants. So Muhammad's vine will not produce good fruit. Buddhists' vines will not produce true fruit. No other vine is going to produce it except this one. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am. The others are pretending to be vines that produce something, and they do produce something evil. Vanity, dead. They don't produce any life. Why? Because they're not rooted and grounded in heaven. They're not taken care of. The vine dresser, who is God, the creator of heaven and earth, He's not going to regard any of those other vines. The only one He regards is His own Son, God's own Holy Son, Jesus. And if you have a relationship with Him, you can produce good fruit. If you don't, you can't. Now, your purpose is not to produce the fruit. It's to know Him, to be in relationship with Him, so performance follows relationship. Unless you have the relationship, a living, true relationship with that true vine, not just a Christian in name, but truly in, you have faith in Him. You live by Him. You depend upon Him. You're constantly in Him. You don't cut yourself off from Him. If you don't have that, there won't be any fruit as evidence or proof or sign that you're of Him. But if you do have that relationship, He can trim you, He can prune you, He can cut you back, but it's only to produce fruit. It's not to destroy you, it's to produce fruit. And if you're not in the right vine, you can be grafted in. Let's say you're in the wrong vine. Well, you can repent and be grafted into the right vine. I just hope you're following this picture. Because it's more than just a picture. It's actually the only way to understand the Christian life or walk is through these stories and analogies that Jesus is explaining and telling. I am the vine, the true one, and the Father of me, my Father. Boy, that is something Muhammad can't say. God is not his father. God is not his father. God created him, but he rebelled from God and did his own good works, which are not good at all in the sight of God. His good works are not good. God does not deem Muhammad's works good. The killing of people, the use of the sword to promote his religion are evil in the sight of God. And the blowing up of one's body to destroy non-believers or infidels or whatever they want to call someone who's not a good Muslim, or even fellow Muslims who don't go along with their program, this is not good in the sight of God. So he cut that off. And he will then tell a Muslim to repent and believe on Jesus and get grafted into another vine, Jesus. That's the true vine. So all the religions of the world are unproductive. They are dead, dead, dead. They have no life in them whatsoever. And God will not be glorified by the works of Hinduism or Buddhism or any other religion. America today is playing with the idea that we could be a nation of multiple religions. We all agree to that. And that would be a good thing and productive. No, the religions themselves are not productive of anything good, except it be that we agree morally not to do harm to one another. That's the only thing. And that's exactly what these religions are not producing, which is no harm. They're producing harm. In other words, they're not able to produce love or good works, but they at least shouldn't produce harm, and they are. So they're not even doing what religions could and should do as plain human beings. So our nation today is becoming more and more confused because we don't know how to distinguish between trees and fruits and roots and branches and vines, and we don't know how to think clearly anymore about what a religion is and isn't. But regardless of all that, I am the vine, Jesus says, the true one, and the Father of me is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes it. So as soon as it's not bearing fruit, God will cut it off. He'll just cut it right off. So someone says, well, I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus. Yes, but is your faith active in love? Are you productive? Are you producing fruit? Not because that's the purpose of your life. It's just that your purpose is to know the Lord, and the proof of that would be that you would produce the fruit, and it'd just be proof of it. It's not why you exist to produce fruit for God. God doesn't need your fruit. It's that if you know him and know his love, then you'll be a lover. If you're first loved by God, you'll love others. And if you're knowing how good God is, then good works will flow from you. Even though you're not good by nature, yet you are good by being in the right vine. By nature, you're not good, but if you're in the right vine, you would be good. He prunes any branch in me, verse 2, not bearing fruit, he takes it. Okay, and every branch which bears fruit, he prunes that. So he'll either cut off the whole branch and let it lay there to burn in the fire later, or he will just prune it, cut certain portions off to make it more fruitful, more abundant. And the pruning is just that part of you which is flesh, that part of you which is not in line with the vine, that part which is not productive. If it was going to be productive, he wouldn't cut it off. The only thing he's trying to do is get as much fruit as possible, and so he will either cut you off entirely because there's no fruit, or he will prune you if there is some fruit, because pruning is essential. Anyone who's a vine dresser in the grape industry knows that you have to go out and prune. You don't let every branch just keep growing. You cut those branches back, and actually there are several cuttings that you make to produce more fruit. You are already clean, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So now he's moved away from vines and branches to you are already clean by the word. You know, he said, I am the vine, but now he's now getting rid of the pronoun understanding there and saying, look, here's the deal. If you and I are connected, if you and I are united, if we have an intimate, close, personal relationship, then you will be productive of fruit. There will be fruit. There'll be evidence. There'll be sign. There'll be something that will say faith is evidence. It produces evidence. It produces, it's active in love. It works. It actually shows the kingdom. Because what is it you're showing? You're actually just showing God. You're actually projecting the majesty of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So you are productive in your marriage, in your business, in your neighborliness, in your nation, in your relationship to all else. You're productive of the kingdom of God if you know him. If you don't say you know him, but actually do know him and believe on him and are therefore filled with his juice, his spirit, which comes out of the vine. It comes out of the vine. That's why Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, because it comes out of the vine. All the power comes out of the dirt. If you pull the vine out of the dirt, it'll produce nothing. So even though it's a vine with a branch, if you pulled it out of its root, if Jesus himself wasn't in the Father, the Father dwelleth in me and I dwell in the Father, if they weren't united in the Spirit, if they didn't have a common spirit, you couldn't be united to him to produce any fruit. Pull that thing out of the ground and you'll get nothing. It'll just be dead. That's the end of it. So even Jesus doesn't produce good works. It's the Father who dwells in him that doeth those works. So Jesus is in the Father, and we're in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is in the Father and in the Son and in us, and you know, all productive, so that some evidence or some sign, some proof of the kingdom of God is seen and experienced actually on this earth. So that manifestation of the kingdom is powerful. And that's why we're a church who doesn't just believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus that fills us with the Holy Spirit, that then perfects us and prunes us and blesses us and expands us and does all those kinds of things, which most churches only pick one of those. They don't want to pick all of them. But I don't think that's the full gospel. You can't just be speaking in tongues and you've got it. Or you can't just be born again and you've got it. Or you can't just go to church and you've got it. You got to put everything all together so that Jesus, who's in the Father, and the you and I, who's in Jesus, and so on, and then we're all in the world, and yet the world is, you know, could overwhelm us, and then we would produce nothing. Or heaven could overwhelm the world, and we would be conformed to heaven rather than the earth, and then there would be some sign or some evidence. Now, you don't see it in our church right now, because we're obviously in a pruning stage. I mean, you're not going to see it, and I'm not working at it, and I'm not trying to produce it. I could artificially produce it. I don't want to. What we're doing is getting down to the nub. We're going down low. It's like, you know, in the spring cutting, cut it severely. You know, just ready to bloom out and just cut it back. I mean, it's awful when you see all the branches that they cut off, as many or more than what's on the vine. But that's the way you do it when you prune something. You cut it back. There's a fall pruning, and then there's a spring pruning. And then there actually is another pruning later. And so but everything is done to produce fruit. Each vine, if you were a grapevine, you might want to produce out of 15 or 12 or whatever, 10, often it's 10 branches. You might cut 6 of them and leave only 4. But those 4 will produce more than the 10. If you had left them, they would all have little grapes. But you can produce more abundantly if you'll just cut 6 of them off and toss them out. So you can see the vine dresser is key to that whole operation. This is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so he wants all of us to be productive, that is, to know him, and then he produces the fruit. Actually, God is the only producer in the world. God is the only one that, I mean, you can say you did it, but you could say the branch did it, but it really wasn't the branch, it was really the vine, but it really wasn't the vine, it was really the roots, but it really wasn't the roots, it was in God. You know, so ultimately you can say God produces everything. It's always the will of God, the power of God, the majesty of God that produces everything. So I hope you had an understanding of that. let's see, 4, verse 4, remain in me or abide in me, menate. Remain in me or abide in me, and I in you. In other words, let's keep our intimate relationship. You flowing in me, me flowing in you. Let's stay close. Let's not just, the minute you graft it, it doesn't produce fruit. The minute you tie the branch into the vine, no fruit is produced. There has to be an intimate relationship. There's a time gap there while the graft is growing into the vine. And it takes days. It does not just happen in an hour or two. The minute you stick it in, it doesn't produce. It just takes a while. And then they start to coalesce. They start to come together. They start to, you know, bond one to another. And as you abide in me and I abide in you. In other words, at first, the branch and the vine are separated. Even when you put the graft in there, it's in there, but it's barely in there. It's not really connected. But it starts to grow together slowly, slowly. And as you grow as a believer, all of a sudden, his thoughts are your thoughts, and his words are your words, and his life is your life. And you begin to find yourself saying the things he says, doing the things he does. You didn't even try. You weren't even working at it. You were just simply looking at him, and all of a sudden you began to be like him. Well, that is the glory of God. There, God will get all the glory. The Father will be glorified when they see your good works. And you couldn't produce it unless there was that union. So the union counts more than the fruit. The fruit is simply a testimony to the union. So God's whole will, purpose in life is to get you to be grafted in to his son, Jesus. And once grafted in and the connection takes place and you start to rejoice and worship and you know, keep your eyes on him and don't look at yourself and don't become psychological and physical and so on. Just simply stay spiritual. Stay spiritual. And then you get all the rest. It'll just come forth without any effort, without any work. His commandments are not grievous. Remain in me, and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself. You see that? You're not able to produce a good work from yourself, out of yourself, from your own being. Cut you off, you produce nothing. Graft you in, and you produce something, but obviously you didn't do the produce. You weren't the producer. It looked like you produced it. It looked like it. And God even says, the branch is producing well. But it's a way of talking because actually all of the juice, all of the life, came from deeper down, somewhere else. Do you know that not one good work that you do is good unless it originates in heaven and then proceeds from heaven into you? What's already been done in heaven is now being done on earth. So when you do something, it's already been done. The good works that were created before the foundation of the world only come into time slowly, but they've actually already been done in heaven. Everything in heaven is done. Heaven is not doing anything. Heaven is done. So the doing is all taking place on earth. It's what heaven done is now being done on earth. So it was done, completed, perfect in heaven, but it's only being done slowly in you over time and throughout space, over time and throughout space. So you're seeing it slowly occur in your life and then the lives of others around you. But God sees it all done. Even when he sees it happening on earth, he doesn't see earth from an earth point of view. He sees earth from a heavenly point of view. It's already done. As in heaven, so on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. The English language does not say what I just said, but the English language is wrong about that. It isn't as clear as the Greek. In the Greek, it's as it's already having been done. It's absolutely perfect, perfect, perfect. Already having been done. You see, where ours just says as it is in heaven. As though it was kind of cooking up in heaven right now. No, it's already having been done. So whatever Jesus did on earth, which he was doing, he said, my Father is at work still doing something. He meant on earth. Because he's not doing anything in heaven. It's done already in heaven. So he said, whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. In other words, looking from an earth point of view, from a human point of view, I can see heaven doing something that's earth related. Because in heaven it's done. So whatever he just done, I done. I'm going to do what he just done. I'm going to say what he just said. I'm not. So when Jesus saw the Father healing someone, Jesus healed them. But that's the Father looking on the earth where it's not yet done. And he's saying, oh yeah, this is what I done before the foundation of the world. I did this good work on this day on earth. Do you all understand that? I mean, it's hard to get a hold of, but use your imagination. Just begin to get into the way God looks at it. Before anything even started, God finished everything. It was finished. When he said he finished it, he finished it. Everything that ever would ever happen. But then on earth, it's played out slowly over time and space, and then that all ends, and eternity takes place. So he's trying now to convey to us what's already done so that we can done it. Otherwise, we won't be able to do anything. Because I'll do something and it won't count because it wasn't already done. Anything that you do that hasn't already been done is vain. It's completely dead. It has no life in it. Everything that's already been done, that's real. That's real. So whatever God wants, that's what's going to happen. And if you do something that God doesn't want, even though it happened, it only happens for a few minutes and then it's gone. Because it didn't really happen. So it has no life in it. It's dead. It's dead because it has no future. It doesn't keep going. But in eternity, everything keeps going. And you now, he's grafting into himself so that you become eternity. Otherwise, you'll perish. Otherwise, you'll perish. Life is just a little breath. God creates it and it's gone. You see that when people die all the time. You see them just, you know, leaving. They're born one day and a few days later, a few hours later, a few years later, they're gone. And so God doesn't want that. That wasn't his will. That wasn't his purpose. That isn't why he created the world, though he said there'll be some that'll perish. But his purpose is that you need to be grafted into my son. That's why Jesus came. Okay, is all that very clear? Okay, now I'm going to read to you. I don't know how far I'll get, but I'm going to read to you. Let me finish this here. Remain in me or abide in me and I in you as the branch is not able. Doesn't have any power, no dynamite, no power to bear fruit from itself, off auto, unless it abides, unless it remains in the vine. So if you stay in the vine, you'll bear the fruit. But if you don't, then nothing will happen. So that'll be a sure sign that you're dead, is you're not in Jesus, but you're alive if you are. And then the fruit will come out to prove that you're alive. Or it'll be dead fruit, which will prove that you're dead. So that neither you, unless in me, you remain. So you only are alive if you're in him who's alive. You don't have any life in yourself. You don't have any life in yourself. You have no innate or inherent life. You only have a temporary existence. And during that temporary existence, you have to find your life. You have to choose it. You have to decide upon it. God won't decide upon it. He's already decided up in heaven. He's just wanting you now to decide what he decided long ago. If you try to do it by works, it won't work. If you try to do it by faith, you can't try. It's just something you believe. It's already done. You just believe it. So you're not going to try. So all trying is evil. All trying is evil. Don't try. Don't work. Don't sweat. Don't try to accomplish something. It's already been done. How can you accomplish something that hasn't already been done? So neither you, unless in me, you remain. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one remaining in me, menon en emoi. The one remaining in me, and I in him, kego en auto. This one. Only this one bears much fruit. Okay? Karpon polun. Karpon polun. Much fruit. Karpon is fruit, and polun means a lot. A lot of fruit. Because hoti koris, apart from me, you are not able to do anything. You can't produce one fruit apart from Jesus. Buddha cannot produce any fruit. Muhammad cannot produce any fruit. In fact, no one can produce any fruit that God will deem worthy, eternal, everlasting, and good, and perfect. You just can't do it. You can only produce immature, imperfect fruit, which won't, it'll have to be cut off and thrown away. Because in heaven, he only has perfect. It doesn't have any imperfect in heaven. So everything in heaven is perfect. So as much as you want here to live forever, you got to get it grafted in. It might be you, your family, your children, your grandchildren. So get them all grafted in so that they put their faith in Jesus. Why? Because there's where all the life is. There's where all the joy is. There's where all the peace is. There isn't any life, any peace, any joy on this earth. There never will be, ever, 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 ever. All the peace on earth comes from heaven. That's only when you meet Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and accept him into your life and graft in and abide in him and stay in him. So you have no joy. There's no joy on earth. Even though people laugh, it's not lasting because it's all it's already determined because it isn't grafted in. So the only joy that we have is totally different than the kind of joy that somebody else has in this world, is drinking a beer or, you know, getting a raise or something. And they're joyful, seemingly, but it won't last. It'll be filled with anxiety, misery, and despair, because that will all turn to nothing. And when it burns, then people realize, well, you know, I just lived my life in vain. I accomplished nothing. Why did I go through that? Why did I do that? Well, because you weren't grafted in. So anyway, I know you know all this. I'm reminding you of what you already know, but I'm going to teach it and say it in such a way that it's maybe more extreme even than you've understood, because this is too good. It's too powerful that you are not able to produce good works, and yet you are able to produce good works. And because that doesn't sound right, I've got to prove to you that that's exactly right. And the reason why it's said that way is so that you don't make a mistake and think you did it. The emphasis is not on the you producing, it's on the one that produced that in you so that you produced. You know, get all the glory to God, get it all in the right order, that it's because of God doing it ahead of time that you were able to produce it later through faith, not through work. You didn't do it through work. You didn't do it through effort. You did it through just resting. I mean, you don't really see branches working at it. When the branch is grafted into the vine, it's the vine dresser that grafts them in. The branch doesn't jump up and get into the tree. The vine dresser has to put it in, and I've seen this done many, 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 many times. They make it real sharp cut. I mean, really sharp. The knife has to be extreme sharp, you know, like a razor. And then it cuts that thing, and then make a little cut into the vine or into the trunk, into the rootstock. And then that thing touches perfectly. That's why they have to cut it so perfectly. And even the little juice comes out of it. And then you put it in there and then tie it. Then tie it. You just tie it with a little ribbon or anything. You just tie it with anything to get it in there. Now, it could just stick in there, but you don't want it to be just stick in there. You want it to be tied closely in case the wind blows it or moves or something. So it doesn't move. Remain. Abide. And then that thing begins to knit together, and pretty soon, like I crack my head open right here, and you can hardly see it, and I never went to a doctor, I didn't do anything. All I did was my head was completely cracked open all the way down to the skull, and you can see it, and all I did was push it back like Jell-O, and I just pushed it back and put a little butterfly Band-Aid on it. And I did that 5 hours after I cracked it open and bled all over the place. So there was no hurry on it. And I had to wash. The only thing you have to do then, you have to wash out all that black blood, because the blood within a short period of time turns black, and it's all blacky. And then I just went into the sink, and sink after sink full of blood, you know, I just poured it out, and just pushed it together like this. And it didn't cost me a dime. And it was just a little butterfly, those little butterfly Band-Aids. Those are wonderful. But I grafted it back just by pushing the two sides. It was like just completely opened up. It was like this, the skin, it cracked open like that, and I just pushed it right back together after washing it all out. It's very painful, very hurt, but, you know, that's what you have to do. Put it together, and now you can't even see it. And then to heal it later, after it was put together, I just put a little vitamin E on it. Perfect. I mean, you can barely see. I know you can see it if I tell you about it. But if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't know. And so that's a graft. That's how grafts work. Put them right back together again like that. So you just make a little slit, put them right back together again. So it was a beautiful break. I just fell out of the shower right onto the tile floor, boom, and just cracked the head right open. But it was a beautiful crack. It was a nice one. And because of that, I got to stick it right back together again. Isn't that neat how God makes the body? Isn't that powerful how God is able to make us in such a way that you can crack open and then heal it? I love healing. Don't you love healing? Especially when it's cheap like that. You know, it doesn't cost anything. You know, I don't believe in medical doctors too much, so. And Peggy, oh, let's go to the doctor. You look horrible, and you know, because the blood was pouring out of my head and so on. No, I'll be fine. But you remember, I had a word from God. You remember that? Remember, I had a word that said, you know, something or other. And I believed that word, so that was all there's to it. And so I wasn't scared, and so on and so forth. All right, now, number one. So you just seen that. Jesus is talking about all. It goes on and on. You can read that whole 15th chapter. It's all about good works. Christians are justified by faith. Christians are justified by faith, not by doing good works of the law. Christians are justified by faith, not doing good works of the law. I think that's Romans 3:28, but whatever it is. After a man is born from above, after a man is born from above, that is, regenerated by repentance and faith, after a man is regenerated from above, that's when he is, and after he's filled, not only is he born, but he has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So remember the graft? The graft is the cut, stick you in, but then you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That now that you're grafted in, there has to be a flow between the vine and the branch. So after a man is born again, someone cuts, sticks you in, that's birth. Now you're birthed into him, you're grafted in. Then after, which is after the after, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that the two are one, you're united. Then, and only then, are you capable of both willing and doing good works for the first time. You can't do a good work until you're born again. So if you're a Buddhist, you can't do a good work. You can only do it after you're born again. If you're a Roman Catholic and you've been baptized into the Catholic religion, that doesn't make you born again. They don't even talk about born again. They just talk about, you know, you were baptized. But they don't say you're born from above. Maybe they do now, but they haven't for years. You know, for 1,000 years, they didn't mention all that clearly. They didn't say born again. That's something that they didn't say, and it's right there in the Bible. They just simply said, be baptized by the church, because they wanted all the emphasis not on God doing something free. They wanted it all on the church so the church could get paid and the church could hold you in awe, because they wanted control. They wanted control. They were an organization. They were not a living body. And they weren't giving you free things from heaven. They were making you pay, get under the law. So their good works are not good works at all. Shave your head and become a monk. That's not a good work. Go on a pilgrimage. Go look at the bones of St. Peter. Go get a thread out of Mary's dress. You know, this kind of stuff is not good works at all. But the Catholic Church made those really big works because they were something they controlled. They don't control heaven. I mean, Luther, one of the problems Luther had was, look, if the Pope has the power to forgive sins, let him just forgive them for free. Why does he have to get paid for it? Why do you have to buy an indulgence? Why do you have to pay for something that's free? Isn't that powerful? So here Luther knocked down 1,000 years of that church because it was a lie. He got the good news back, which is, hey, everything from God is free. That's why you can't pay me to do what I do, because it's free. I got it for free. I give it for free. I don't want to be paid. I don't want you to pay me. So God is with him once you're grafted in, once you're born again. God is with you and in you to work through you. You can't do it on your own. The natural man, not having any faith in Jesus, the natural man, that's somebody who has not yet any faith in Jesus, they don't have any faith in Jesus, the natural man, whether a Buddhist or a Hindu or a witchcraft person, doesn't matter, they cannot please God. No natural man can ever please God, nor can they do any good work that he would call good. Because he's prescribed what he calls good, and it's nothing you can do. he's prescribed what you can do, and you can't do it, because he said, be perfect. Well, I can't do that. Well, So then you can't do what he said to do. But that doesn't stop him from saying, this is what you have to do to be on my side. Is be perfect. I can't do it. But you see, what he's after is not you performing, doing. What he's after is you getting into a relationship with him. And he does it all. He's the vine dresser. He's the vine. He's everything. You are just going to be grafted in by faith. You didn't even do anything. You didn't even do anything. It's totally passive. Totally passive. He just stuck you in and you didn't have anything to do with it. The branch didn't say, oh, please graft me in. The branch didn't say, I repent. The branch didn't say, oh, I want to bear fruit like that other branch. The branch didn't say anything. God chose you and called you, and you hear it, and you realize, well, I can't even do what he's saying. So it's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery how you get grafted in. And the Bible calls that repentance and faith. And they're not your works. I'll just tell you right now, they're not your works, although someone else didn't do them. But God did that work in you through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching of the gospel, the good news. It's amazing how it all works. But we're not discussing that today. We're just discussing how good works come forth. Well, they don't come forth unless you're born again. You have to be a Christian and filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with His Holy Spirit. So the natural man cannot please God. He can't do any good works which God has prescribed. And he can't be justified or made right with God by anything that he does. So the natural man is perishing. He's lost. That's why we go out and tell him the good news. That's why we tell him. Get people saved. That's your job, by the way. As many people as we have in the church, that's how many you've brought in. Not too many, but that's how many we've got. So apparently you haven't experienced any good news yet, because you should have brought some other people and say, this is really good. Got them saved and then brought them to church so we can build them up and get them grafted in and tie that knot real tight and make sure they grow. Make sure they get all the sin out of their life and so on. Maybe you did tell them that. Maybe that's why they're not coming. But whatever the reason is, it should be so good. You're bringing all your neighbors, friends, relatives, you know, especially the ones that are in trouble. You know, if you get the ones that are doing well, they probably don't feel they need it. But just wait. Sooner or later, you'll get them too. Because they all will fall apart sooner or later. Anybody that almost gets it doesn't get it. If you almost get it, you still didn't get it. You got to be totally, completely, absolutely happy. All right, number three. Salvation from the Jews. And only after a man receives Jesus, natural man, not having yet faith in Jesus, can't please God or do the good works which God has prescribed. That's number two. Oh, that thing is nothing. Throw that out. That's nothing. I'm not following that. I did that last night for the men. No, that I've already destroyed that. That's no good. That was just for the men. I did that for David. David was here last night. That was for David. And he already got what he needs to get. So now we're doing it different. This is better. This would be better than what we gave to the man last night. Salvation is from Jesus, or from the Jews. Only after a man receives Jesus as his Messiah, as his personal Savior and Lord, can he be, as a Christian, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only time he can do the works of God. On earth, as it is, already done in heaven. So the only way you can do that, you can't be a Buddhist doing it, putting on Hindus, they wear orange robes, and they shave their head, and you can see them, and they walk around like this, and they sometimes beg for food, which you put in their little orange skirt. So that's how you can tell, that's a Hindu, okay? That's a Hindu. And then they have different things. You see, they have little things in their head and little marks on their bodies and stuff like that. You thought, oh, yeah, that's a religious person. They're not doing any good work. That is not a good work. To lay on nails is not a good work. To, you know, work with cobras and stuff, that's not a good work. That is really not God's work. To wear an orange robe is not a good work. You can tell, because most churches that are really into buildings, you know that's not a good work. Because we're the building. So we're not into buildings, obviously. We don't have a really neat building. Buildings are nothing. Buildings are, you know, just means to an end. But a lot of Christians, because they want to enhance themselves, get more customers, they build buildings and have altars and have all kinds of outward paraphernalia, robes and fancy stuff and so on. That lets you know this is really religious. Well, that pleases the flesh. But you'll find none of it in the Bible. There aren't any candles and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, he had it in the Old Testament, but he canceled that out. I don't know if you've noticed, the book went on. That little experiment did not produce any holy people. I don't know if you noticed that. Killing of the lambs and all that stuff, none of it worked. Cancel that. Put them into bondage. Just threw them back into the world. Says, go into the world. That's where you belong because you're just worldly. I'm not going to do that religious thing anymore because just flesh can't do religion. True religion has to be done in a different way. And so Jesus actually went out in the streets. He didn't even have a church. How many know Jesus had no church? He didn't have a church. He didn't have a building. He didn't have a Sunday school. He didn't have anything that we have. I mean, we're hung up on all that stuff as though that had to do with anything. That's why a lot of people won't come here because they feel, well, it's a cult or something. Because it doesn't look like a real religion. Well, okay. Whatever you want to say, but what about Jesus? Was he a real religion or not? So, I don't care. I don't police people anyway. I don't care if people like it or don't like it, whatever. It'll work because God said it'll work. So, I don't count noses to find out if it works. I don't take popularity contests. I just know that the truth will set people free. I like to be despised. I like to be missing. I love it. I actually love it. I enjoy that. I love looking worthless. I love it. I love being shamefaced. That's the way Jesus was. That's the way Paul was. Now, you think that God couldn't start to do some wonders and miracles and draw thousands of people? It'd be simple. It'd be real easy. I'm not looking for that. If God wants that, then let God do it. I'm not against it. I'm just not promoting that. I would rather have a handful of people that understood, like Jesus, waste a lot of time getting a few people than, doing some tricks and wonders and signs and all that stuff and getting thousands of people that are shallow. And really never did produce any good works. You know that most of his followers weren't really truly worships of God. They didn't worship God. Even his own 12. He had trouble with his 12. One of them denied him. Another one betrayed him. Another 10 of them, and that's all there is, they abandoned him. I mean, that's not good work after 3 years, night and day of working with him. Do you understand? I mean, he was with him night and day. You'd think he would have produced a little something in that amount of time. And he's a pretty good teacher, too. I'd say he was pretty good. And he did a lot more than I do. He did a lot more than I do, but, he didn't have a lot of customers when it was all over with. It just died right there on the cross. But I love that, you see. Now, that moves me. It does move everybody. I can see why people wouldn't be moved by that, but I'm moved by that. And I have total confidence that I'm going to win. I have total confidence that when it's all said and done, maybe I don't get any reward on earth. I'll get it in heaven. Whatever you keep from me on earth, I don't care. I'll just get it in heaven. My Father who sees in secret will reward me in secret. You're not going to find anyone happier, more fulfilled than I am. There's nobody. But, they could be equal, but they're not going to be greater. And so just because you have all the paraphernalia doesn't mean anything to me. And I could even die this way and still be totally happy. But I don't know that I will. I may actually have a church of 5, 10,000. 15,000, 20, 40. I don't care what it is, whatever people think is impressive. That's so easy to do. That is, I would rather just have Peggy than to have 10,000 members. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, really, that to me, if I could just reach Barbara, if I could just reach Keith, I'm telling you, it'd be a miracle. You see, that to me is really powerful. One person, spirit, soul, body. That would be very powerful. So, it's a totally different thing than just going out and looking like, be evangelist. You can be evangelist. I have big meetings when I go to Africa. Huge. I'm so famous over there. My tapes go everywhere. My books go everywhere. And I could be great. All I have to do is leave here. Because a prophet has no honor in his own country. But you go somewhere else and you're famous. Why put up with all this here? Well, because Jesus told me to. So I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do whatever he told me. I'm not looking for outward fruit, although there is outward fruit. There is outward fruit. People give testimonies all the time. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And hey, praise God. Glory to God. To me, that's exciting. Just One of your grandchildren is exciting if they get it, right? You don't have to have them all. If you just get one, you're excited. If you get two, it's really exciting. If you get six of them, you know, eight of them, you know, it's great. So, you see, as Christians, you got to know what you're looking for. If you're digging something deep, you may have to, you know, there may be a gap between the building and the digging of the hole. The hole may take a long time because you're building a big building. You're just going to build a little pup tent. You don't need a lot. But I don't want to build a pup tent. I want to build the kingdom of God. And that takes a deeper cut. We're making sure that everybody gets the whole thing. Well, it could take a while. So I'm very patient. I'm not all impatient, and I have no self-doubt. It's not like, oh, Pastor, don't you think what you've done is nothing? Yeah, I do, but I don't pay attention to what I think. I pay attention to what he said. Do y'all understand? I don't count like other people do. And you say, well, then what happens if you die and you didn't accomplish anything? I really don't care. I'll get rewarded in heaven. Some will be surprised. Hey, what's he doing here? He had a little dinky little group of people. Well, God likes him. And you might be surprised how many people I've affected. I mean, who knows? I don't know. Because nobody knows what God can do. So I don't look at natural. I look at the spiritual. Strictly speaking, since only God is good, this is number four, and since we are not good, strictly speaking, nor are we even capable of doing good, that is, in and of ourselves, apart from him, all good works must be produced by God and not by man. So every good work that you do, you didn't produce. Even though it looked like you did, you didn't. It was done by God. That's amazing. Man independent of new birth and baptism of the Holy Ghost can't do it. But a man in Christ, a man who believes in Christ, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, that's different. Now you can do all kinds of things. But actually, you didn't do them. He did that in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He did that. That was the operation of the Holy Spirit at work in you. That was the Father himself doing all that work. It was wrought in God. Totally different. All right? Good works always follow faith. So first thing you got to get before you can do a good work is faith. Before you can do any good work, you have to have faith. And that faith then, if it's real faith, it'll be active in love. If it's real faith, it'll be active. So you don't have to make it active. If it's real faith, it will be active. Okay, what's my faith in? My ability to produce a good work? No. My faith is that Jesus that died for me is also that same Jesus that fills me with his Holy Ghost, is also that same Jesus that's transforming me into his likeness day by day, is that same Jesus who lives in me. He's risen, he's alive, he's still living, and he's living in me through the Holy Ghost, working through me, so that the Father in heaven will get all the glory by the good works that I produced. But it wasn't any more me, it's no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. It wasn't me at all. It's a new me. It's a totally new me. Well, then I get all the credit, but I don't take the credit. I just go, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. Because my eye is not on the fruit, my eye's on Jesus. Everybody else's eye is on, oh, look what he produced, fruit. I didn't produce any fruit. I wasn't even looking for fruit. I was looking at Jesus. I had my eye on Jesus the whole time. I was so happy I didn't even notice that I had any fruit or not. I didn't even bother to count because I'm not that interested in it. And to prove it, that's why I like the fact that we haven't grown and we're not going anywhere, because that proves that I'm still happy. I'm still going. Not because I couldn't improve myself. I know how to improve myself, but it'd just be for people. I don't want to do that. I keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm having too good a time to worry about how much fruit I'm producing. Now, let's say I had 10,000 people, and everybody said, oh, now that's really God. Well, I know, but it was God before you said that. It was God when it was just this group right here. It isn't God because it looks like it. It's God because it is. It's God when I just became born again. The minute I became born again, that was already a great work. And I know heaven rejoiced over one sinner that repented, and me. I mean, they were having a ball. They were having a picnic. It was fun for them. Keith, when you accepted Jesus as your personal, I tell you, heaven just went into a woohoo! I mean, they were so excited. It's Keith. No, yeah, I'm telling you, it's Keith. Heaven got excited. And all of heaven has kicked in for my glory. Amen? Whether you see it or not, I really don't care about that. I don't care about that. I got my eyes on Jesus. Why am I going to look at my fruit? I'd rather look at the one that produced that fruit. I know it wasn't me. It's no longer I. Here's another one. Good works always follow faith and never precede it. See, in the Catholic Church, it precedes. In the Hindu, it precedes. In the Buddhist, it precedes. If you don't have good works, you're not one of his. You don't belong to Buddha. You don't belong to Muhammad. You don't belong to, you know, the Pope's guys. Well, look, in my religion, it's the opposite. Good works don't precede faith. They don't precede my salvation. I don't need to do them to get it. I don't need to be good to get something. I've already got it, and then the good works just produce for nothing. I'm just good for nothing. I am good, but it's for nothing. I'm not good for to get something. I'm just, because I'm good, something comes out. What? Jesus. That's just Jesus. Those good works are just Jesus, which is the work of the Father and the Son through me. It doesn't matter. The through me is not what counts. The moon produces no light, yet you look up in the sky and it looks like it produces light. So you could say the moon is bright tonight. Yeah, but it isn't. That's just reflecting the sun. Now, the sun actually produces light. It has it in itself. But the moon is just derivative. It's just simply a reflector. But people say the moon is bright tonight, but it's not. It just looks bright to you at your vantage point on the earth. From one point of view. If you were on the other side, you wouldn't see it. So the moon itself has no production. But people would say, the moon rules the night. You know, there it is. You can see the moon. I know, but it's actually not producing any light at all. It's just simply a reflector. We just reflect the kingdom of God. Amen? The only thing that happens to me when Christ gets inside of me is I got the sun inside of me, and you can just see it then all over me. That's the glow. That's the beauty that you see. Oh, that was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. That was God. That wasn't me. That was Jesus in me. That's God. Woo! You see? But somebody say, well, you look different. Yeah, I look different. But I am different. But my difference is not me. It's a new me that has Jesus in me. That's what's new about it. It's this relationship, this friend that I've found. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, that's a new relationship, a new friend that I've found. I like him. He likes me. I like him. We're having a good time. And you know what? Something comes out then of that. You look different now. Yeah, it's a friend I found. You're seeing the friend reflected in my life. What he said to me, what he did for me, that's what makes me different now. I'm dead now to the stuff that used to be alive to, and I'm alive now to stuff I used to be dead to. I'm totally different. Jesus said, did I say all this? Faith is the foundation of all good works. Jesus said, greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. So you see there that relationship? When Jesus said, you'll do good works, but only if I go to the Father. So Jesus, he's with me and never leave me or forsake me, but he actually also goes to the Father. But he takes me with him. And so I'm on earth and he's in heaven, but actually I'm in heaven and he's on earth because he said he'd never leave me. So I'm actually here because we're grafted now, and wherever Jesus is, Jim is. And wherever Jim is, Jesus is. Isn't that amazing? That's a spiritual thing, right? It's not physical, it's spiritual. Because I'm actually seated with Christ in heavenly places now, and he's actually down here on earth, yet he's with the Father, yet I'm with the Father, yet I'm on earth, and yet he's on earth. But it's because we're one now, and wherever Jesus is, you got to say Jesus, Jim. And you got to say Jim, Jesus. I mean, you know, wherever you see me, you've seen Jesus. And wherever you're seeing him, you've got to see Jim. There is no Jesus. There's only Jim's Jesus. There's only Barbara's Jesus. There's only Peggy's Jesus. You see what I'm saying? There is no such thing as Jesus. It's Jesus now in relationship. That's a different Jesus. Or that's the real Jesus. It's just that we didn't see that till he came down and realized, wow, he loves us. And many people haven't seen that Jesus. They've seen a church Jesus, a religious Jesus, some kind of other Jesus, but not the real Jesus who loves you personally and always included you in everything that he did. Everything he did was for you. When he died on that cross, that was for you. When he was buried, that was for you. When he was born, that was for you. When he lived and got beat up or whatever, that was all for you. He didn't do any of that for himself. That was all for you. John 14:12. Greater works than these. Did you know that you do good works? Now that you do better works than Jesus did. What? 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 I do better. Not only do I do good works, but I do better ones than Jesus did? Yeah. Greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. And so what he's saying is, what I did for you, that was great, but what I'm doing in you and through you is even greater. Wow. Because for you is only to get you to graft in. But when I'm in you, I'm actually transforming your soul, and then I'm through you, I'm actually transforming your life. That was really what I did the for. I did the for so I could be the in. I did the in so I could get to the through. Why? So that everyone would know. I not only wanted you to know that I love you, I wanted everybody to know I loved you. You see, if a man has a new bride, he wants to show everybody. Do you see the pretty bride I have? Do y'all see Peg? Do you see how great she is? Woohoo! See how blessed I am? Did y'all see Peg? I don't know if you see her. And she looks better too, doesn't she? That's because Jesus loves her. What a good Jesus we have. Jesus was saying that no man by nature can do good works. A natural man born of the flesh has neither the wisdom nor the power to do God's holy works. The natural man, not having any faith, the natural man born of the flesh, the natural man, Buddhist or Hindu, witchcraft or atheist, whatever, the natural man neither has the wisdom nor the power to do any good works. He can't do them. He can try as much as he wants to. He can't do them. It doesn't matter what he tries to do. He can't do them. We require his wisdom and his power to do his will. You can't do it. Even if you're a Christian, you still can't do it. You can only do it if you're in him and he's filling you. You can't just be grafted in, but you have to be filled with the Spirit. That is, the graft has to take bond. And then the juice begins to flow. Then you'll see the good works, finally. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, I can't do anything apart from him. Nobody can. The only doer in the whole universe is God the Father. Even the Son doesn't do his own work. What I see the Father doing, I do. He isn't doing his good work, though. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth. So the Father, he's seeing him, but he's not upstairs seeing him. He's not upstairs, he's not downstairs looking upstairs. The Father's actually in him. The Father that sent him came along with him. So he says, well, show us the Father. Take us up the stairs so we can see into heaven. He said, no, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, where is he? He is right here. So, when you hear me, you're actually hearing the Father in heaven. Amen? You're actually hearing the Father in heaven. So, I'm listening closely to people to hear the Father. I want to hear what the Father has to say. And I can hear him anywhere. I can even hear him in a pagan. But it isn't because they are saying it. It's just that I'm listening. I can be blessed anywhere I am. Because I see it even negatively. I can just see it everywhere. I can see the Father's wonderful. I can even see it in people that can't do any good works. I can still see it. That means our good works cannot originate from ourselves, our natural flesh. We have to be born again first. Then we have to be filled with His Holy Spirit before we can please God or do any good work. God wants to have a relationship with us. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him and with His Son Jesus, and also fellowship in the Holy Ghost. All of it. You can't produce good works without those three. You can't just have a relationship with the Father without having one with the Son, without having one with the Holy Spirit, because they're all together. They're all working together. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power that you could produce good works. Not the power of the Father, That is the power of the Father through the Son, through the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Son in there because he's the one that gives the mercy to forgive you for not producing any good works. So it's the power of the Father through the Son, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then ministers the love of God through Jesus, the mercy of God, through him, the power of God. So he's not empowering just the Father. What if he empowered only the Father's holiness? No, he's empowering the Father's holiness through the mercy and love, through the working of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing in you. The Holy Spirit's the one that works in you, not the Father, not the Son. The Father made you, but he's not working through you. He made you, but he's not working through you. And the Son forgave you, but he's not working through you. He forgave you. He did something for you, but he's not working through you. But it's the Holy Spirit that's working through you what the Father made and what the Son redeemed. Ah, now I need all three. So you see how this graft works. It's beautiful graft. You see this graft? It's so perfect. I love these. These are just analogies, but they're good ones because God said them. I think he wrote the gospel into the whole world. I think you could pick a sermon out of anything. 8. Paul said, it's no longer I that live. Now he's talking about our old man in Adam, your natural birth. It's no longer I that live. When he says I, he means the natural man. But watch this. But Christ liveth in me. Now that me is our new man in Christ, born from above. So it's no longer I, that's the old man. It's me, Christ in me though. Christ in me. Now, that's your new man in Christ, born from above. And the life that I now live in the flesh, but that's my new man now. The life that I now live as a new man, it's a different I. The first I, it's no longer I. Now it's another I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, that's a new I. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you see right there, that's kind of, please don't be offended by language. Don't be offended by God's language. He'll say something and then he'll explain it and it's not exactly what you thought it was. I know the Bible makes sense and common sense, but it actually doesn't. You actually have to read it and, You have to read it and keep looking at it 100,000 times to get it, and you have to read the whole Bible to understand one verse. You can't just pull a verse out somewhere. It's in context. It's in a rich nexus of things. That's why he says, I am the vine, the true vine. You got to have the true vine to explain what the vine is. So that's just the way language works. So don't be offended by that, that he'll say, apart from me you can do nothing, but in me you can do all things. Don't be offended by that. Just try to figure out what he's saying. Because at first, I can't do nothing. Now I can do everything. I mean, make any sense. Well, yeah, but listen to what he said. Apart from me, relationship. You can do nothing. But in me, through me, by me, relationship. Then I can do all things. So performance comes out of relationship. So I've got to get that relationship. How do I get that? Well, he does that too. That's where my faith comes in. Oh, I believe that. I believe I can't do anything, and I believe he can. 9. The only way we can produce good works is to be in close relationship. The only way you can produce, perform, commit good works, the only way you can do that is to be in relationship with God's Son by faith in his atoning death, to be filled with his Holy Spirit and with the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit. There's where the power comes from. He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will receive power. Not the power to speak in tongues. I mean, that's power too. But it's the power of his holy life. It's a holy power, not just power. Power can be destructive. The Mississippi River is overflowing. There's power, but it's destroying. It's destroying buildings and houses and people's lives and all kinds of things. But it's enriching the land. I mean, that's not all bad. How many know that it's not all bad? There's good that's in it too. It's just that people have tried to defy nature, and people are a little bit, not so smart. So the little levees they built were a good idea, but they should have taken better care. But they get lazy. People get lazy. We built that years ago. It'll be fine. Okay. I mean, every year now, California's burning up and then flooding out and mudding and And every year now, the Mississippi's overflowing, and every year we have Katrinas and catastrophes and so on. I mean, I would catch on after a while. Maybe you shouldn't build your house on California. Maybe you shouldn't be building your house right along the Mississippi, unless you're, you know, built it right. Kind of like build a big mountain or something so you can stay above the water. I mean, why be so foolish as to build right next to the river when it floods? You better find out how far flood goes up. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay, but you better have a place for your cows to go and stuff. It's not bad to have all that mud come down because that's good Mississippi mud. But it is bad if you didn't make any provision. You know, make ponds and stuff like that. Did you know that mankind has done that from the beginning of the world? You just make ponds. Next to every river like that, there should be big ditches that you could fill up and keep it all year round. That'd be a good thing. Then you'd have all that good mud and all that good water to use and so on and so forth. But they don't think like that. They ought to have more ditches and so on. But they want these big machines to go forever. Well, you know, maybe God's not into all that. Maybe God has a different way of farming. People around the world have always lived along the Nile River. People have lived along the Nile, and it floods every year. But they build all kinds of dikes and ponds and channels and so on and so forth and take advantage of it. So it's not destructive if you have wisdom. But you got to have wisdom. So now it's destructive because mankind wants to say, well, you know, the engineers, what do they call it, the Army Corps of Engineers or whatever they are, well, you know, they made a report that said they weren't good. And, yeah, but apparently nobody listens in the government. We're busy catching people with, you know, out seat belts and stuff and making sure your garbage isn't the right thing. And then let these big monstrous things go by because we have to spend all this money on catching good citizens than we do in catching criminals and in doing the real work the government should be doing. You want me to go on that? No. Okay. So just there's something wrong. Make me president. I'll be a better president. Give me all the power. So there you have it. Colossians 1:27. I won't give you the scriptures, but there's lots of scriptures. Number 10. Jesus himself did not and does not produce good works. Jesus himself never produced one good work. Never did one good work. Jesus didn't do any good works. Yet he said he did, but then he also said he didn't. Except by a close relationship. He had the same thing we need, a close relationship with his Father. Did you know that Jesus can't produce anything except the Father? Said the Son never does anything except he sees the Father, except he hears the Father. He's got a close relationship with the Father. He finds out what the Father's doing, and then he just does the same thing because that's the only thing that's going to be done. You want to do something? Do what the Father does. You want to say something? Say what the Father says. He said, the Father who dwells in me does the works. That's pretty clear to me. Very clear to me. The Father who dwells in me, relationship, doeth, that's performance, the works. Can you see that? Relationship is first, performance is second. That's so clear to me. Jesus had a relationship with the Father. I have a relationship with Jesus who has a relationship with the Father. So therefore, I have a relationship with the Father through Jesus. And to prove that, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Father has the Spirit. The Son has the Spirit. They both have the Spirit. They both send the Spirit into me. That ties us all together. We're one. We're family. We are family. We are one. You know, that to me is pretty neat. I like that. We're all one. You talk to the Father, you're talking to me. You're talking to me, you're talking to the Father. I mean, that's my family. I have no problem getting a hold of that. Hey, there is no such thing as God. There's only my God. That's my God. Little kids will say that. That's my mom. I love that. Little kids get that down. Here we are, big people. We don't even get that. Little kid will go, that's my daddy. I love that. That's good. That's my grandpa. Oh, that's good. Little kids, if that's their grandpa, that means they own that grandpa. They own that one. That's the one that they have. That's good. They got it down. It's the same with us as it is with him. We cannot do good works unless he is in us and his Spirit is working through us. It's clear. Very clear. Christian works are made possible only if the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, is actually dwelling within us. and continual fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. So, if you have Jesus as your Savior, you also have to have Him as your Lord. When you say Lord, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that works under the lordship of Jesus on your behalf. Jesus made you by Savior. He saved you. But that's Jesus as Savior. But Jesus as Lord is not saving you. He's not just setting you aside, making you grafted in. He's now using you. He's changing you, transforming you in the soul and in the body. That's the difference between justification, sanctification, and glorification. The first one's Jesus, the second one's the Holy Spirit, and the third one's the Holy Spirit. But it's really Jesus working through the Holy Spirit. If a natural man produces any works of his own, it will be deemed by God as evil, because it was not wrought in God. So here's a Buddhist. He sees somebody on the sidewalk, and a truck is coming, and he picks him up and pulls him over. It's not a good work. It's not a good work. Oh, it's a good work humanly, but it's not a good work because ultimately you didn't save the little child. You just simply kept him from the truck running over him. And so in the eyes of God, he can use that, but that person himself didn't get saved, and the little kid didn't get saved. So they perished. Then the next day they die, and they never went to heaven. It's only a good work if it's perfect, if it does everything God intended. Do you see that? So don't think humanly. Well, that was a good work. No. Let's say you went and you went to a carnival, and you're a 12-year-old child. You went to a carnival instead of doing your chores at home. Dad told you to do your chores, and you went and did the carnival. Is going to the carnival a good work in the eyes of the Father, or is staying at home cleaning your room a good work? It's obvious. Cleaning the room is a good work to the Father. But the Son wanted to do it. But what if the Father told the Son, go to the carnival today. That's where I want you to go. Do not stay home and clean your room. A good work is what your Father wants. A good work is not what you call good. You don't know what good is. Going to the carnival, cleaning my room, how do I know what's good? It's whatever the Father wills, whatever He's done in heaven. Because maybe going to the carnival is a good work. Maybe that's the best thing for that young man. But maybe cleaning his room is. Only the Father knows. That's the Father's decision. We don't know what a good work is. Where am I? I don't even know where I am. Okay. If a natural man produces any work on his own, it will be deemed evil by God because it was not wrought in God, or by faith in God's Son. Even if a Christian produces a work, but it's not wrought in God. It wasn't something God said to do, but they're a Christian. Like, a Catholic who says, I'm going to be a priest. Well, that looks like a good work, but you better ask God. Maybe He doesn't want you to be a Catholic priest. Maybe He doesn't want that. But the mother is real happy if her son becomes a priest or daughter becomes a sister in a convent or something. Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's God. You have to check with God. So many Christians produce works that are not by faith, and then God will deem it evil because it's a dead work and it was not produced in or by heaven. That's how you know if it's a good work or not. Was it produced in heaven? Was it produced by heaven? I'll quit in a couple minutes. One more page here. A dead work is any work which men produce without God's living presence and power. So if you produce a work, but God's presence wasn't there and His power wasn't there, that's dead. It has no life in it. All good works must originate in heaven and proceed out of heaven. That's how you can tell it's a good work, because it started in heaven and it proceeded out of heaven into your life, and then you did it because God manifested it on earth for you. There are actually two kinds of dead works which men can produce on earth without God's approval. Here's the first kind. The first kind of dead work is when natural men, or even immature Christians, commit open acts of sin, lawlessness, and evil. The Bible describes these acts as licentious. So that's one kind of dead work, is to do licentious works. They're sinful. Everybody can see it. You committed murder. You committed adultery. You lied. You cheated. Everybody knows those kind of things. Those are obvious fruits of the flesh. Okay, that's one kind of dead work. That is a dead work. It's called lawless. It's outside of God's law. It is not what God ordered. It's not what heaven designed. The second kind of dead work is when natural men or immature Christians commit hidden acts of sin, not open, lawlessness and evil. The Bible describes these hidden acts as religious hypocrisy or self-righteousness or legalism. So now you can do two kinds of dead works. If you're a natural man, all your dead works are either legalism or license. If you're a Christian and you're not very mature, you're not matured yet, well, then you can do the same thing. You can produce, even though you're a Christian, you can produce dead works, lawless works, works that are not wrought in God, works that are not born of faith, works that weren't done by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Those are dead works then. They don't have any life in them. Unless God does them, they don't have any life. Whether they be sins of open lawlessness, license, or sins of hidden lawlessness, religious legalism, God deems none of them worthy of acceptance because they are not a perfect work of faith and love. And he concludes that man at his best state, I mean, when man's at his finest, doing what he thinks is the most wonderful thing, he calls that altogether vanity, because man did it. Man did it. God didn't do it. Didn't come from heaven. It wasn't born of the Spirit. It wasn't done in faith. It was just simply done by you. You had no relationship with God. You didn't talk to God. You didn't hear God. You didn't do what God said. You just said, well, I think God wants me to do this. Yeah, but you didn't hear that from God. Well, I think I did. I know you think you did, but that doesn't mean you did. You have to test it. You have to test every spirit to see whether it be of God. How many know that sometimes we do things that we think are of God, but they're not? They're dead work. They're dead work. But I think I heard God. Yeah, but you didn't. Well, I think I did. And I'm the one that has to decide. No, I'm sorry. You're not the one that has to decide. You're not. Check with the pastor. I mean, he's someone. Check with mature Christians. Check with, you know, test that to see whether it be of God. Prove that. How do you know you heard God? Well, I just feel that way. Well, I know, but feeling is nothing. Well, I just thought, well, no, that's nothing too. Well, I just wanted to. Well, that's definitely nothing. That's nothing. So how many know that people will justify all kinds of things that are just dead works? They're completely dead because God wasn't in them. And then later, you find out, even before God comes back, you find out, wow, I don't know if that was right or not. I don't feel what I did there was right. And you are convicted now because it's proven out that what you just thought and said and did was wrong. Because it wasn't wrought in God. How then can I make sure I hear God? My sheep hear my voice. If it's God, he'll tell you. He'll make it clear. Not just because you say so. Test it. Every spirit, you have to test every spirit to see whether it be of God. If I had any authority as a pastor, people would come to me and ask me, Pastor, what do you think of that? Well, I don't have any authority. I just make some suggestions to people, but they ignore it. Well, it's okay. It isn't hurting me, but it's hurting you. You better make sure that I didn't hear God. A lot of times people will hear me, I'll tell them something, and they just ignore it. Well, I might not be, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe I didn't hear God. Check with David and Pastor. Okay? Check with some others. I mean, a multitude of counselors are safety. I'll admit that I don't always hear God. But I think I hear him a lot of times. I think I hear him a lot of times. And people just don't want to know what I have to say. There's a lot of times they don't call. They say, Pastor, I know what you're going to say. If you know what I'm going to say, why did you ask me? Well, I know what you're going to say. Well, yeah, it's exactly what I'm going to say. You're right. No. You're right. No. You can't do it. I knew you were going to say that. Well, that's because it's in the Bible. That's because it's in the Bible. Not only that, we not only have the Bible, which is written, we also have the Holy Spirit, which is within. But I'll tell you something else. The Holy Spirit will never disagree with the Bible. If the Bible said something, then the Holy Spirit's not going to say something else. He wrote the book. He's not going to disagree with his own word. Yeah, but I don't care what you're saying. If it's in the word, you don't do it. Well, there's two words. Okay, well, let's find out. Let's look at both words till we're clear. Well, some people say this and some people say that. I know. But let's wrestle until we actually are certain ourselves. Well, I think people disagree on that. Oh, I know they do. So are you going to slip through the crack just because they disagree and go with the one you favor? Don't you fear God enough to find out what the truth is? Do you understand? So this is part of God's kingdom on earth is to mature us so we're not just pushed around by every wind of doctrine. Or just going about by our own psychological feelings or thoughts or desires. But we're actually led by the Spirit of God. And people know it. I tell you, even pagans know, hey, what you just did, I wouldn't have done. But I know what you just did was of God. It was of God. It was of God. It's not as blurry as people say it is. Okay, so God calls the open lawlessness license, or the hidden lawlessness, legalism, he calls that not a perfect work of love and faith, concluding that man at his best state is altogether vanity, and that all man's righteousness, a filthy rag. All man's righteousness, a filthy rag. It's actually more graphic than that in the Bible, but I'll just say what's written. But it means it stinks to God, stinks to high heaven. When you're righteous, that stinks. That's why I say we don't do good works, because we're not righteous. God does the work. And I got to make sure what I just did is exactly what God would have done. Is God, is that what you just did? Is that already done in heaven? What I'm saying right now, is that what you're saying? Because if it's me and I'm establishing my own righteousness, it stinks like a filthy rag. I tell you, a lot of things that go on in the church are filthy rag to God. And he doesn't deem them. Well, I just hope I make it. Okay, fine. But you know that every work is going to be tested by fire. And a lot of your works may burn up. Well, as long as I make it. Okay, but, you know, that just doesn't sound like Jesus to me. I mean, I've used that myself. Okay, God, I know this is a bad work, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway and hope you forgive me afterward. Have you ever done something like that? Well, don't say, I know you have. Everybody's done that. They've just said, well, I know it's wrong, but I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to eat this extra cookie. I'm going to watch this television show. I know it's shallow and worthless. I'm going to say what I know I shouldn't say right now, but I'm going to say it. A lot of times we know what we're doing is sinful, but we just do it anyway. Well, that is a dead work, and it's going to burn up. But the same fire that destroys flesh is the same fire that purifies spirit. That's the same. Jesus makes it clear. He's very clear when he says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, I know, but this is not exactly perfect. But yeah, but no. It has to be perfect, David. Perfect. I'm just a human. No. You're just a human. That is silly to say that. God is with you. God will strengthen you. I'm not just going to do the human thing. Okay, so that's going to burn up. That part of your life is you just wasted another. And do you think that's going to, you think that what you're doing is going to add up to life? You think that's going to bring forth something beneficial and fruitful? Well, maybe not, but I feel like that person needs some vengeance. Okay, well, it's not good. It's not helping you or them or anyone. You're going to throw away your whole salvation just over this issue? Well, I'll try to keep my salvation, but just do this wrong thing, then God will forgive me. I tell you, this is not right thinking. There's something wrong in a church like that. I hope none of you think like that. Maybe you have in the past. I have. I've actually done that. I have done things that I knew were wrong, but I knew God forgive me later, and then felt good about doing it at the time. But I knew it was wrong. Have you ever done that? Yes, you have. So don't do it. Stop it. Because you're wrong. You're not just wrong about that one thing, but you're just wrong to play God. It's not wrought in God. That's not a good work. Good works are good for you. They're good for everybody. That proves whether you're a Christian or not. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. All else is counted as unclean in his sight and has no value whatsoever. The last one I'm going to do. Jesus makes it clear that the Father wants works which are perfect in his sight. He notes that many religious works are neither hot nor cold. Okay? If a religious work is hot, it means it's perfect in faith, perfect in love. Okay, that's a hot work. That's what he wants. Or cold. He said, I prefer it if you be hot for me totally. The next what I would prefer is if you be cold. But he said, you know what my problem is? If it's cold, it's just openly licentious, openly evil, obviously rebellious. He said, now I prefer that to the next one. But your works, he said, your religious works are lukewarm. Your religious works are lukewarm. They're not cold like the pagans. They're not cold like the heathen. And they're not hot like someone born again and filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. But I would rather have those two. The hot, yes, that's what I want. And the cold, that's a choice you made, but at least I can convict you when it doesn't work. How many know that when you do an evil sin, admit it to God. God, what I just did was evil. But when you hide it and pretend and justify it, oh, don't do that. That is Satan's best. Because your works are lukewarm, my Father will spew you out of his mouth. That's a very indicting thing. Because your works are not perfect. So many of my works are not perfect. So I bring them to God every day. God, let's look at all my works. See if I did anything wrong. God, I don't think I did anything wrong today. Can you see anything here? Let's look them over. I don't know. Every day of my life, God has been able to find something wrong. Every single day. I ask him, God, I can't see anything I've done wrong. I believe I'm perfect today. I think so. I've checked them over. I think I'm pretty good. And he'll check it over. He'll find something wrong every single day. Isn't that amazing? Does anybody have a God like that? I tell you, that is a faithful God who will say, Jim, I see a lot of your works are pretty good, but here's one right here, just a small one right here. And he'll point, oh my gosh, it's huge. I thought he was just going to show me a small one, but he just meant it looks small when you first look at it till you start unraveling the thing, and then pretty soon it's every filthy thing imaginable. It was just little. When he first mentioned it, I thought, well, that's not too bad. I could justify that until he begins to show it to me. Well, that just what I said to Peg, that was just a small thing. I don't think that's a big thing, is it? Pretty soon he'll make that huge. You despised her. No, all I said was, but he'll get me. No, you see, it wasn't her that did it, it's you. Oh, man, look at what she did. Look what she did. She made me do that. She forced me. I won't get out of that prayer closet until Jesus has destroyed me, showed me all my wickedness and evil. Amen? I've never, ever gotten out of the prayer closet thinking I'm good. I'm good. I've always had to confess every day, Colleen. Every day I've had to confess. I've sinned again. And he shows it to me, and it's devastating. It's evil. It is not just mild. It is not like a small thing. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. This whole week I've only had one sin a day or something. It is devastating. Every day. That is the only thing that keeps me going. I love it when God does that. It's the best work in the world. Forgiveness, that's secondary. Doing good works, that's tertiary. I tell you, the primary is getting God to show you how evil your works are apart from him. Boy, Jim, you were cold this morning. And see, I know he's on to something there. I know he's going to he's going to show me something a lot more. And he's right. I was cold. He said, Jim, are you completely happy today? Are you radiant? And I would say radiant. I would say, yeah, pretty happy, pretty much happy. No. Are you radiant? Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm in joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, I wouldn't go that far. So he's got something there, and he's pulling at it. He's saying pretty soon, oh, my gosh, I've got a huge thing against him. Jim, right there, you're accusing me. And I'll come up with all this stuff. Y'all do that? Good works. They'll only come after you've dealt with bad works. Deal with your bad works. Let the Holy Spirit show you how many bad works you have. You can go over your good works and he can find a flaw in them. Because my good works are not necessarily God's. Maybe part of it was God and part of it was me. Well, he'll go after that. So, you know what? When the Father is glorified because of your good works, people thank him. They praise him. Even the pagans will thank God for the good works they see in you. Because they'll know when you do that, then no, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. You loved me all that time. You forgave me all that time. They see that and they're amazed. And they give God the glory. Even the hardest pagan out there is moved when they see the good works that God has done in you. Don't worry about the good works you do to them. That's way down the line. The first good work is that God could love you, could forgive you, could show you how you're guilty. That's a great work, Keith. That's a great work. Don't see what someone else has done. See what you've done. And that will produce good works, because she that hath been forgiven much, she's going to love much. So, we've just touched on this subject. There's a lot more to it. I'm rewriting the good works lesson completely. It's good. You know, every time I go through this, I always teach the man at night, and then I realize, that's not right. It's not right. It's good. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to... I wouldn't sit down and redo them, but when I deliver them, I realize that I better redo that one. Got to redo it. So I stayed up, you know, much of last night and this morning, just starting to redo it. And it gets so exciting. It's, whoa, this is really good. That good works, God wants you to produce good works, but you don't produce them. He doesn't. He's the doer of good works. God doeth every good work. And that's why he gets all the glory, Keith. You don't do any, you've never done a good work, and you will never do one. You are not capable. I had a young man here last night, and he said, well, I know I'm no good, but he said, but I'm tired of doing bad things. I'm getting ready to want to do some good things. And he said, I don't think God will do them. I think I have to do them. And it was good. It was so fresh. I rebuked him for it, but he couldn't quite get that. I got to do something. So, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm not. Well, that's it. Stop it. You know, it was just, the light was going off inside of him. Do you remember that, David? I mean, he came up to me afterward, too. I think you were even there. Came up afterward and said, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back because this is very interesting. This is not what I thought it was at all. He's been in church his whole life, and he's never heard the gospel. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, he's heard the words, but it never penetrated to him. You mean I can't do anything good? I gave a whole lesson on it, and that's his question afterward. Well, I mean, are you saying... It was great. Because one of our evil works is that we think we can do good works. And that's what's evil. Not able. Hey, God did them all. He's already done it. It's already done in heaven. Why would you want to add to what God has done, which is already perfect? How can you add to perfect? I mean, if it's perfect, it's perfect. Nothing more to be done. And if God did it, it's perfect. If you did it, well, then you could add to it. But don't put God in the box with you. He wants to put you in his box. Don't put him in your box. All right. God is good. I hope you're blessed today. Good works. We're going to talk a lot about good works because good works are proof, are the outward sign that will convict the whole world. And the reason why the world is not impressed with the church is because the church is not doing a lot of good works. I mean, it's doing some. There are works that you know, that's God. But if you look closely, a lot of them are tainted. They got little human handprints all over them. Do you know what I'm saying? And a lot of corruption is right there next to the good work that God did. People will corrupt it right there. Get a little glory if they can from it. I would. It's good that I haven't accomplished very much because I would definitely have taken myself seriously. I would have thought to myself, well, you know, I was really useful to God. I've really been a benefit to God. And pretty soon, I'd be into all kinds of corruption and sin. I'm so glad that it never happened. I'm glad that I had people that didn't believe in me and despised me. That was more helpful. It keeps you humble. Then you have to go back to God. Barely make it. God, apparently I haven't done very much. That's right, Jim. You haven't done anything. Oh. I haven't done anything? No. I do it all. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. And you have to constantly go back. I believe we live in the last of the last of the last days when the Lord's about to come back and he's going to look for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She's going to have all those good works, which are her dress is nothing more than the righteousness that Jesus gives you, but also the righteousness that he works in you and through you of the saints. That's her glory. That's where God, the world just gasps as they see that. If they see Keith being just like Jesus, they'll know he didn't do it. They'll know, there's no way he couldn't have done that. I know Keith, he's not even built like that. He's never done anything like that. This is totally out of character for him. But when they see it, they'll know that was God. When they see TK happy, peaceful, then no, that wasn't her. That was not her. That must have been the Holy Spirit. When they see us doing things that they know we can't do, then they give glory to the Father. No way she could do that. She's so quiet. Look at her like that. I mean, my mom was a complete back-in-the-corner person. I mean, she never would come out agoraphobic. She just never would come out. But then after she became a Christian, she was just too much all over you. I mean, but it was all Jesus. I mean, she was just trying to tell you about Jesus. Just wanted you to know about Jesus. She just couldn't understand why everyone wouldn't want to get it. Because she was back so long, she just couldn't imagine. Don't you just love Jesus? Do you know Jesus loves you? She'd just go up to anybody and everybody. She was obnoxious. I mean, just the postman, everybody. But actually, they liked it. They liked it. But, I mean, she had no fear anymore. But she had no boldness. She used to throw up whenever she would go out to school or any place. She'd just throw up all the time. My mom couldn't even go out of the house. She was so scared. She would just, vomit. She just couldn't take it. So she was completely, backward like that. Then she became a Christian. 6 diseases gone, miraculously. Just no longer. No medicine, no nothing. Isn't that amazing? Do you all understand what I'm saying? She became dancing. She never used to dance, to the Lord. Happy. Write songs for Jesus, sing to him all the time, begin to pray to him, praise and so on. Witnessed everybody she knew, anybody, She didn't care if they liked her or didn't like her. That was a different mom. And, she wasn't perfect when she died, but she was being perfected. It's powerful. Peggy's mom, too. Peggy's mom also began to say, I never heard it that way. I remember Guy Witherspoon witnessed to her and said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I think so." I said, "Well, let's get it so you know." And he witnessed to her, and she said, "Well, okay, I want that." And she received it. It's powerful. So your family, those are good works because they're wrought in God. I remember one day Guy Witherspoon called up Cullen Davis. And he called him up and said, "I want you to come to my house right now." This guy told him, "I want you to come to my house right now. I know what you've been praying for. He was amazed. Well, who are you? That guy with his phone. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, well, what do you want? You know, well, just come over right now. He brought him over and he said, okay, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. And that's how he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through Guy Witherspoon. James Robinson helped him to get saved, that is, justified, but he didn't get him the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Cullen had been praying, God, I need power. I don't even know what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And then Guy called him on the phone. He said, come over here. He came over and he got it, received it. In fact, God would do that every day in Guy's life. I doubt there was a day that he didn't get someone delivered, someone saved, someone healed, someone, you know, encouraged. He was just, he lived the first umpteen years of his life, it was all, you know, gain and position and power and whatnot. But the last umpteen years since I knew him, he was a pastor of this church. He was one of the pastors. Actually, there were four of us. There was Robert, myself, Dr. Gerton, and Guy. And the four of us started this work. It's powerful. Every time we'd come together, one would have a dream, one would have a vision, one would have a word, one would have the interpretation. It was perfect. Every single time. Every single time. We marveled. We didn't work at it. Nobody was trying to do anything. We just would meet together and someone say, hey, I got to share. And Guy never dreamed in his whole life. He said, I've never dreamed. But he had dreams every time we would come together. He said, but I had a dream last night. I was out on the golf course and I was hitting this ball and it was a cube instead of round. You know, he would explain what he'd said and I'd say, I know what that means, and so on and so forth. And Robert would say, hey, I have a word for you right now. Just every time it would be perfect. That's heaven. And we knew that was church. We knew that is real church coming together like that. Well, we never wrote any of those things down, but I'm just telling you, while that happened, it was too powerful. Anyway, God is good. Good works are proof that God is good. You should be bearing fruit. Fruit that abides, fruit that is abundant, fruit that never ends. And the best has been saved to the last. So let's produce some good works. All right. God bless you all.